In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. If I were to ask, what is a cornerstone on a building? What would we think of? For most people, it's that decorative stone on one of the front corners, usually at eye level. It's got the name of the building, the year it was built. We actually have one on this church. There's a small one on St. Michael's Hall. Fancy ones have carvings. A church might have a cross carved into it. A public building might have the seal of the city. Some older big government buildings have all kinds of scenes you might see in Chicago or in Manhattan, horses and chariots and whatnot. Maybe a list of the civil authorities who were governing at the time the building was finished. Even some cornerstones have a little hollow in them and a little time capsule. And after, 50 or 100 years, they'll pull it out and see what the newsprint and what little items were in from a long time ago. Cornerstone is usually inserted at a dedication when the building is completed. Now in the gospel today, Jesus refers to himself as the chief cornerstone of the kingdom of heaven, quoting Psalm 118. In fact, several times in scripture, Jesus is called the cornerstone, both in the Old and in the New Testament. But if we think of Jesus as the cornerstone of the church, as the cornerstone of the kingdom of heaven, in the sense of a beautiful or ornamental label for the church, then we're missing something. As an aside, a decorative cornerstone can be changed. The time capsule are actually designed to be pulled out. The cornerstone on this very building was actually changed at one point. If you see old pictures from the 20s, this building, not the old building, this building has a St. Michael's cornerstone on it. And then when it was dedicated in 1930, the cornerstone was changed. In ancient times, the chief cornerstone was the first stone laid. It was not merely decorative, although it may have been, but more importantly, it was structural, and it was not at eye level, but on the ground. The stone had to be strong. That stone had to be perfect. Strong because it's going to hold the weight of the entire building above it. Perfect because all the other stones were measured and lined up against this one stone. If the cornerstone was not perfectly square, if its angle was too sharp or too wide, you're going to end up with not only a very funny looking building as you go out further and further, or come in further and further, but it will be structurally weak. It won't sit right. Now, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church and of the kingdom of heaven in the sense of that foundational stone upon which all things are built, both strong and perfect. In Ephesians, Paul describes Jesus as the cornerstone in whom the whole building is fit together. That's the word he uses. It's fit together so that we all follow that square. We follow that strength. We follow that perfection, and then we grow from there. And so the chief cornerstone is not just a decorative label. It can't be changed. You can't pull it out. If you pull it out, the whole building collapses. It's the anchor and foundation on whom everything else fits together. And when the builders get together, you can guess they were very particular about which stone they would select to be the cornerstone when the whole building depended on it. Now, interestingly, in the gospel, again quoting Psalm 118, Jesus says not only that he's the chief cornerstone, but he's the stone that the builders rejected. Picture, if you will, in your mind, builders looking over the stones that have been gathered for a building, and they're looking for the first cornerstone to lay down for that foundation. And they have an idea of what the building is going to look like. And as they look over the possible cornerstones, they're like, nope. Nope, that's got a flaw. Nope, that's got a crack. Nope, it's not square. And so they reject and reject and reject until they find the perfect stone. Now, in the parable Jesus tells, the builders are the religious leaders. They're trying to build God's community, and they're looking for a Messiah and a Savior. And they have a certain idea of how that Savior will be, how that Savior will act, how that Messiah will judge. And this Jesus that they've been hearing about does not fit their idea. He does not fit their image. And so when they see him, they say, nope, he's not what we're looking for. And they reject him as the cornerstone and keep looking for someone else who will fit their own idea and their own image and their own agenda as to what this church, what this Messiah should look like. and who should be the foundation. Now, why was Jesus rejected, a person might ask? Well, Jesus had no political power, and that certainly did not fit their image. Jesus is humble and poor in spirit, and that's not what they wanted in a Messiah. Jesus is merciful to sinners. He accepts outcasts, and that doesn't fit the legalism that they understood. Jesus welcomes the marginalized in society. He mingles with tax collectors and harlots and lepers and the demon-possessed and even those blasted Romans that give us a hard time and have conquered our nation. And he rejects the judgmental, self-righteous attitude that the builders so desperately cherish, and instead shows them the beautiful nature of the loving God. And so they reject him. They say, nope. But the architect is God the Father, and Jesus is the image of God. And by rejecting Jesus, they rejected God himself and everything God is and stands for. Now, the lesson to us today is to be very careful how we see the community of the church, what or who we see it built on. It ain't us. It is not us. Well, not unless we are aligned with Jesus perfectly. And I think that brings up one other idea we should consider. Because the people that we might be prone or socialized to reject might just be God's next junior cornerstones. They can't be the chief. He's already Christ. But there are cornerstones in all kinds of places in the building. The child that always seems a little dirty, that acts out for attention, may just be God's next junior cornerstone. The single mother who can't quite get ahead may be a future foundation for part of the church. The person of a different race or language who came to this country for the very same reasons my grandparents came to this country might be God's next foundation. The person whose religious views or practices are just a little different from mine, God may want to lead the next generation of this church. The community of God has room for all of them. And more than that, many of them, because they image Christ more perfectly than I do, God will enlist to help shape the church into the future. And I think there's a caution to us in that. The person that I reject may very well be God's next cornerstone. And last but not least, you may want to reflect on how well you line up with the mercy and love and joy of Jesus. Because the next junior cornerstone that God calls might just be you. Amen.